Well, hello, Shoreline City. You ready for a wonderful day or what? Ben, great to see you. Mom, good to see you too. We're so excited about today. Hey, can we give it up for everybody online too right now? I'm not sure which camera I should be looking at. I don't see a red light, but either one, I love y'all online too. And we are about to welcome in our Antigua, Guatemala family along with our Frisco family. So you guys are the ones to make sure everybody feels welcome. You guys ready for that? You ready? All right. Hello, Frisco. We love you. And to Antigua, Guatemala también, great to see everyone today, excited about what God has in store for us. You made it to the first Sunday of the new year. How about that? Just for the record, there are only 52 of these, okay? You only have 52. And somebody told you, man, 52? I think I can be a part of 45 of them. Some of y'all are thinking, no, I'm just going to be a part of two. No, I want you to be a part of way more than that. Let's go ahead. We're starting this year off. Let's just make it a commitment. We're going to be in the house of God, growing together, developing, maturing together, because God's got some great things in store for you. Trust me, you will have plenty of things that will try to pull against your time and your attention to try to get you off course, but stay locked in here. Because I think God has something great he wants to do in your life. We're going to start off in the book of Psalms this year. Let's begin in Psalm number one. Psalm number one, the very first book of Psalms, very first chapter. It says, blessed is the one, beginning in verse number one. If you didn't have your Bible, put the words on the screen. But I do encourage you, bring your scriptures. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Okay. I'm excited about this. We're going to jump into this passage of scripture. We're just going to walk through it. We're really getting ready because in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having Vision Sunday. That will be on the third Sunday of January. And these first 2 weeks that we'll be walking through are really preparing us for the word and direction I feel like God has given us as a church for this upcoming year. So this is a text God led me to. So we're going to walk through it. I said this on New Year's Eve, which may have been the most amazing worship gathering and service we've ever had in the history of our church. And everyone's coming up to me now saying, I guess we have to do that every year. Can we do it earlier? But I was telling everyone that Psalms, from what I have studied, seems to be the book that Jesus Christ quoted the most out of when he was in the New Testament, or he wasn't in the New Testament, but as he was living his life, this is the book of the Bible he quoted the most. Obviously, there are some prophets, obviously the book of Deuteronomy and some other parts of the law, but the book of Psalms may have been the book of the Bible he quoted from most. And here is the very first book of Psalms. This is a jumping off point. And we're going to walk through this here. And I believe by the time we're all said and done, every one of us will have grown more in our walk with God. And I'm praying that our eyes get open as well. So he starts off here and he says, blessed. The writer says, blessed. I don't have the time to go through every word, but I want to stop on this word. This word right here in the Hebrew would be like an exclamation, like, oh, how blessed. Like, y'all, listen up. Let me just tell you, there is an excitement and a joy and an enthusiasm that the writer is writing with here that you might not get when you're reading it in the English, but in the Hebrew, it's overwhelming and incredibly excited. He is pumped up. He is fired up as if the Dallas Cowboys got the number 2 seed in the NFC, and they are on their way to beating the San Francisco 49ers in their home stadium. That's how he's writing. Blessed. This is good news. This is exciting. This is wonderful. Blessed is the one who does not walk. Everybody say walk. Walk in step with the wicked, or stand. Everybody say stand. Stand in the way that sinners take, or sit. Everybody say sit. Sit in the company of mockers. I want you to see this. You've got walking. That's that. You've got standing. Great. And you've got sitting. Follow me, camera. Y'all following me? I'm going to sit. See the camera guys talking to each other. I'm going to sit. You guys follow me? Okay. I gotta make sure Frisco's staying with me. Going to sit. You got walking. You got standing. You got sitting. I'm asking you at the beginning of this year, with whom are you walking? With whom are you standing? And with whom are you sitting? Now, I did not say who are you walking with, because you don't end a sentence with a preposition. Come on, English. Come on, English teachers. Come on, come on. All right. So with whom are you walking? With whom are you standing? And with whom are you sitting? The psalmist here says that has a lot to do with the health and the strength of your life. You have to assess, and I have to assess at the beginning of this year, if you look around at the people that you, now I'm going to put the with on the end, that you are walking with, that you are standing with, that you are sitting with, are they going the path of Jesus, or are they going the path of destruction? Now, this is not so that we can judge people and say we're better than somebody else. I'm not interested in that. But let's at least make an honest assessment that if we were looking at the path that these people are on, are they headed down the path of Christ, or are they headed down a path of destruction? It does not mean you are better than them. It does not mean God likes you more than them, because God loves the whole world. I'm talking about the path. Teenagers, I'm talking about the path that your friends are on. And I wish I was just talking to teenagers. This is not just a teenager thing, because 20-somethings and 30-somethings and 50-somethings and those who are retirees, your friends will have everything to do with your future. Who is it that you are walking with, standing with, and sitting with? Don't be surprised that the... Matter of fact, I'll say this. Look at the digression that happens with this person. I like that it shows this in the scripture. He says the person starts off walking. So I'm just walking. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's cool. No big thing. I can handle this. It doesn't matter that I'm around this company. It doesn't matter that these people don't honor God. It doesn't matter that they don't love Jesus. It doesn't matter that they disrespect the Lord. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And they're walking. But when they walk long enough with a group like that, they stop moving, and now they're just standing. So now you're able to have conversations, maybe get a little bit deeper, you get to have a little bit more interaction, a little bit more talking, and before you know it, you're in a kettle that is getting hotter and hotter, but you don't even realize that it's getting hotter and hotter because you went from walking to now standing, and if you wait long enough, before you know it, you're sitting in a place you never thought you'd be sitting in. So the enemy wants you to know, the enemy of your soul is interested in your marriage going from walking in the wrong circles to standing in the wrong circles to before you know it, you're sitting in the wrong circles, and maybe you're at a table that you never thought you would be at, and you're ending up talking about divorce when you never thought you would be there. But if you were able to take some steps back, you would look at where you were seated, where you were standing, and where you were walking, and it has everything to do with the people that you and I are around. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight. Oh man, I like this word. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. I think I had us underline those couple words. Did I have us underline? No, maybe not. Delight and meditate. Delight and meditate. Delight and meditate. You go ahead and you can underline. I have those underlined in my Bible right now. This chapter, I've got it all highlighted, but that or all kind of marked up. But those two words, delight and meditate, I underline those two words. He's saying, this person, this man, this woman, this college student, this high school student, this junior hire, this retiree, this CEO, this manager, they're assessing their life and they're living this, they're blessed when they're not walking in all the way of sinners and standing in the wrong place and sitting in the wrong spot, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, let me back up maybe for a quick second, because some of y'all might be thinking, at my job, I'm surrounded by the wicked, I'm surrounded by mockers, and I'm surrounded by sinners. So what do I do? Because who am I going to go to lunch with? Because that's all I have to go to lunch with at my job. Makes sense. You can read later on in Corinthians. We actually went to that book earlier or last year. And the Apostle Paul, when he is talking about, like, hey, be careful when you're around people that aren't honoring God, he actually makes a little caveat. He says, I'm not saying you can't be around people in the world who don't love Jesus, because if that were the case, you couldn't even be in the world. Your job, your life, shoot, maybe your family is filled with people that you might not want to walk with, sit with, or stand with. But that's where God has you. So understand this. The question is, when you walk into environments, do you walk in there understanding who you are in Christ, or do you walk in there with a defeated mindset thinking that they are going to be the ones that influence you more than you influence them? Because you are a missionary on assignment. This is not your final resting place. You're actually just passing through. The other word the scriptures use is ambassador. You're a representative of heaven. And anytime an ambassador from a country walks into another country, he or she walks into that country with the backing of the country that they are from. So when you walk into a room, you have to understand that you are walking in with the backing of heaven behind you. You're not in a boardroom giving a presentation just representing yourself. You are now an ambassador of heaven. So that's why you stand with your shoulders up. That's why you don't have to have the degrees that everyone else has. That's why you don't have to have all the favor that everybody else thinks you need to have, because if God put you there, then heaven is standing in the room with you, so you can stand there with confidence, even surrounded by people that you might not want to run with for all the days of your life. But how are the people in the world going to know about the love of God if there's no people who have the love of God in them in that world? You're on assignment. sometimes the church has been like, oh man, you better hide out from the world. You better run from the world. The world is going to taint you. And I would say you got to be wise, because some of us had some friends back in the day that we cannot hang out with right now because we're not strong enough. And it's okay. What's going to happen is you're going to develop. You're going to grow. You're going to be in a connect group. You're going to be surrounded by other people. You're going to go to join. You're going to be a part of the church. You're going to get planted. And before you know it, you're going to begin to develop and grow. And God is going to be able to trust you to go into environments that you never thought you could go into. And you will not be influenced by it, but you will influence it for the cause and the glory of God. You're on assignment. Now, how do you get there? What are you delighting in? What are you meditating on? If you and I are delighting in and meditating on people liking us, then you will not have the strength that you need to stand or to sit or to walk or to be in an environment with people who are not honoring God, because you will now be trying to get their affirmation and get their praise rather than understanding that you're living for the affirmation and the praise and of the glory of Jesus Christ. So I was, I remember when I was in high school, which was, 398 years ago, and I was in high school, and I was a part of our youth ministry, and I had given my heart to Christ, and y'all, I went all in for God. Like, I was, like, all in. I was, like, one of those people, if, like, you were on the bus, and you were sitting next to me, I was like, hey, if this bus crashes, this was the conversations I would have with people. If this bus crashes and we all die, you going to hell or you going to heaven? It's 7:20 in the morning, bruh. I don't know. I still got sleep in my eye. I don't know. I was intense, okay? I was intense. And I think you can totally have those moments. I think you totally do that. I think it's a little bit better when you have a relationship with somebody and they can actually see your life over a long period of time. And they're like, okay, oh, you're about that? Okay, I want what you have. I think that's better, okay? I think that's better. But I was just taking people's faces, just going, ah! Just throwing it in there. But I had a great youth pastor and I had some wonderful leaders in my life. They helped me to understand that when I walked into my school and it was lonely at times, that I was not just going to go to all the parties and I'm not just trying to go get lit on the weekends and I'm not just trying to have a bunch of red cups because I'm trying to live my life not for myself but for God's glory. So they were teaching me, you've got to delight in something other than your friends liking you, because if it's just about your friends liking you, you'll find yourself doing things that you would never want to do and actually things that you'll regret doing because you're not doing them for you. You're doing them so somebody will like you, and you're actually trying to get somebody to like you that you won't even think about 15 years from now. So why am I going to make this permanent decision with a temporary relationship? Let me make sure I take a step back and say, God, I want to live for your glory, your fame alone. So let me delight in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. When this was being written, they didn't even have the whole Bible. They had like what they would call the law. The first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Torah. These five books. So he's talking about the law of the Lord. That's what his brain is going to. These first five books, and five, just so you know, is a number of grace, can give you a picture of the grace and the beauty and the majesty of God, who God is and how you and I interact. Even the book of Exodus is a picture of Jesus Christ taking us out of a place of bondage and bringing us to a place of freedom. Even the Red Sea parting, all of this is pointing us to a Savior that is to come. And as we get ready in this new year, I just want to make sure that we're not just trying to come into this year like, yeah, I'm so hyped. I want you to be hyped. I think that's wonderful. Let's go. I'm all about that. For sure, we can get our energy high. I'm okay with it. But when you don't have any energy and when the goosebumps have failed, I still want you to be following in the path of your Savior. And that is found not in you and I having our focus on ourselves. We've got to be delighting in and meditating on something that goes beyond the temporary. It can't be delighting just in my bank account, or delighting in if a ring is on my finger, or delighting in if I got a promotion. My delight has to be in something that is not going to pass away, that is first and foremost Jesus and the Word of God that will continue to remain. What are you delighting in? What I have found, okay, this, no shade, okay, no shade. This is just the reality. For a lot of us, the only time we open our Bible is when I ask you to open your Bible. And I'm letting you know that is not delighting in the law of the Lord. It's better than nothing, but it's not going to be enough to sustain you. My preaching is not good enough. This 30 minutes or so that I'm up here talking with you, sharing my heart, is not enough to keep you. You and I are going to have to be delighting in something. If I am preaching the word to you for 30 minutes, but you're spending 30 hours a week consuming other things that are trying to take you another direction, just do the math, my friends. You and I are not setting ourselves up to be who God has called us to be. And we will say, I want to prosper. I want to honor God. I want Jesus to be first in my life. And then if we look at our habits, we would say, what are we actually delighting in and meditating on? And it's not usually consistent with the path and the way that God has for us. That's not to throw in, I don't want any shame, okay? Shame won't change you. I want no guilt. That won't change you. This is an assessment, okay? This is when you go to the trainer and they start doing that fat count and you're like, wait, what? Wait, what? Do it again. Do it again. This is when you get on the scale and you're like, no. No, I know it wasn't right, but it's not like that. that ain't right. I knew I had a little extra something here, but I thought that was from squats. I guess that was sandwiches. Get on the scale spiritually. You look at it and you go, oh boy, oh boy. Okay, okay. The devil will try to tell you, see, you're not good enough. Run away. That's a lie, okay? None of us are good enough, okay? None of us have it all together, me included, okay? So we all are broken, all messed up. That's why we're in need of the grace of God. What it is an assessment, and the Holy Spirit goes, hey, I got some stuff I want to work on. And if you let me work on it, we'll get through this thing together. And he doesn't try to fix everything at one moment. It's like we're on this beautiful journey together, becoming who God has called us to be. The scriptures would call it sanctification. It's like this transformation that is happening in your life. And you get saved in a moment, but you're transformed over a lifetime. That's why we say, give us a year. Give us a whole year. Watch what God can do in your life in a year. But what are you and I delighting in and meditating on? We're about to start this time of prayer and fasting. You can put our little prayer and fasting screen up if you wouldn't mind. Frisco family, Antigua, here in Dallas. For the next 14 days. We're going to have a time of prayer and fasting. What is prayer? That's talking to God and God talking to you. So it's not just talking, it's also listening. What's fasting? It really means to go without. What are you going to go without for 14 days so you can create space for God to speak clearly to you? Now, medically, if some of y'all can't fast food, don't not fast food, okay? Eat food. But it might be social media for you. I've done that. And the time that I would spend on social, I decided to spend that time praying or reading my Bible. Some of you, you need to fast alcohol because you think, oh, I got it. But you don't have it. It has you. So you got to take a step away and go, I'm going to go without it. And you're going to see how God's going to begin to fill up your heart and your life. I don't know what it is, but I want you to pray, church family, all of us collectively, everyone at every campus, Frisco, Antigua, Guatemala City, San Antonio, online, all of us together, we're going to say, God, I want to take a step back. I want to go without something. I'm going to fill that time with your presence, be thinking, delighting in, meditating on you. And after these 14 days, I want you to get ready for the life and the power that's going to flood your body because of what the Lord is going to speak and do on the inside of you. I am believing that there's going to be such a breakthrough. Matter of fact, I'll show you what's going to happen. It's in verse number 3 right here. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So many of us are like, oh, man, you're on Instagram trying to figure out how you get ahead. Listen, and Instagram is great, wonderful. It's a resource. It's a tool that God has given us. I don't think social media is bad in and of itself. I think you and I get to redeem it, just like money. Money's not bad in and of itself. It takes on the nature of the person who has it. So if the person who has it is generous, then the money is generous. But if the person who has it is stingy, then the money is stingy. It's amoral. So is what I see. That's how I see social media. But my friends, what I need us to do is not just think like I want to be on social, or I just want to be on just be focusing on my job, or I just want to be focusing on myself. I want us focused on God. I want us delighting in Him. And then these other tools that He has given us, we're going to pour our life that has been transformed by His life into these things. And then God begins to redeem our job. He redeems our family. He redeems social media. He redeems our money, and He takes all of these things and He uses them for His glory. But if you want to prosper, you can go to seminars, you can go ahead and click on links, but the Bible right here is trying to tell you, I've got a way for you to prosper. And the way for you to prosper is to not live your life for yourself, but for you to live your life for the glory and the fame of Jesus Christ. Stop trying to search everywhere else to prosper. I've given you a path. Are you and I going to take it? That person is like a tree planted. That person is like a tree planted. It's not just a random wild tree. It's a tree that gets planted. I like that he uses tree because a tree cannot sustain itself. A tree has to get its nutrients from someplace else. I'm so glad you and I got to understand, we do not get our sustenance from ourselves. Our sustenance in our life comes from the grace of Almighty God. It is God who is breathing out that is giving you the power to breathe in. And I don't know what life has thrown at you, but I know God has carried you all the way to this point. And you might be thinking, I raised myself. You did not raise yourself. It was the grace of God that has carried you all the way to this point. Oh no, I'm telling you, my family wasn't there for me. My friends weren't there for me. Nobody was there for me. Hey, who gave you the breath in your lungs? Who gave you a mind to think? Who gave you some tenacity on the inside of you? You might think that was you, but my friends, what I'm telling you is God has been in your life when you didn't even know he was in your life, and he is the one that even brought you to the place where you have a business that's successful at all. So you might think it was you, but announcement here at 2024, it was the grace of God that has carried you all the way to this point. And the sooner you and I realize that is the sooner you and I wake up to living a life of purpose and destiny, and we actually begin to prosper. Not prosper like I just got a whole bunch of money. And man, if you get a whole bunch of money, praise God. Yes, do that. I want you to. But I'm talking a life that's advancing, a life that's moving forward, a life that's being lived not just for the temporary, but also for the eternal, a life that's being lived for the glory of God. You're like a tree that's planted by streams of water, and you yield fruit in season. You yield fruit in season. Your leaf does not wither. And whatever you do prospers. Some of us, we did not even think we would make it to this year. You're like, I don't know how I even got here. I like this text. You're like a tree planted by streams of water, and the storms try to uproot me, but I'm still here. I'm still here. Loss and difficulty and fear and doubt try to take me out, but I'm still here. Disease and betrayal and fear try to take me out, but I'm still here. My sin and my foolishness tried to take me out, but the grace of God carried me all the way to this point. And the grace that carried you here will be the same grace that will carry you all the way through to the end. I see you prospering. That's what I see for your life. Not because this is some self-help message. I'm just going right from scripture. That's what the Bible says. We're just going right off the word of God. But you're not just prospering because you're like in America or you're an expat for those of us, those who are down in Antigua. No, 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 no. It's because you and I are walking, standing, sitting in the right spot. But even more than that, that we are delighting in the law of the Lord and we're meditating on it day and night. It is running through our mouth. This is my last thing. I'm going to get us out of here. Last thing. Let me tell you this, okay? Jot this down. This might be so practical. Some of y'all, you'll need to hear this, okay? You want to prosper? This is my theory. And I think I can back this up with scripture. Get these three areas of your life in alignment with God's word, submitted under his plan and his authority, and you'll prosper. Your mouth, your mind, and your money. This is my theory. You get these three areas submitted under God's authority. Your mouth, your mind, and your money. And you watch how God will take you to new places. I'm not saying your life will be perfect. Jesus said you will have trouble. That's built into this sin-filled world. Struggles, pains, problems are going to be here for all of us. I'm talking about a life that will live beyond yourself, and you'll live a life that's in alignment with God's will and word and way. I am working on this in my own life. I am praying, God, would you get a hold of my mouth that I speak your word? Would you get a hold of my mind that my mind is renewed by the word of God? Would you get a hold of my money in a way you never have before? Where, because my heart will always follow my money. So I want my money to be in the kingdom of God, about the advancement of the kingdom of God, so my heart and my life is submitted under the kingdom of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God. And as that happens, I'm believing that you and I will prosper in ways we never even thought possible. Bow your heads if you wouldn't mind, family. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you are under the sound of my voice and you have never given your heart and your life to Christ, you've never made him first, you've never made him number one, you've never made him the boss of your life, and you're like, I'm here at the beginning of the year and I do not want to go my own way. I want to go the way of Jesus. You know right now you have not yet surrendered your heart and your life to the way of Christ. Jesus said you must be born again. That doesn't mean you go into your mom's belly again. It's a spiritual rebirth. And if you've never had that happen to you, this is the moment. And it's not done by works. It's done by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if that's you and you have never done that, or at one point in time you did and you slipped away, today is your day to surrender your heart and your life to Christ. On the count of three, I want you to do something simple but bold. I just want you to throw your hand in the air and say, yes, that's me. I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Just throw your hand up in the air. Yep, there's friends all over this room, friends online, friends in the balcony. Come on, this is your moment to surrender, your moment to say yes to Jesus. This is beautiful. We celebrate this right now. I'm going to ask everyone to put your hand over your heart if you would not mind. I want everyone to repeat this prayer out loud after me. Say, dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I admit I've made mistakes, and today I give you my heart. I give you my life. Give me the power to live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, we can clap our hands, lift our heads up. Man, we celebrate this.